a very good morning to you, and welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel, and we're going to be looking at the subject of suffering today, continuing our series of messages regarding suffering. And just why is it necessary? Why is it a part of being our life as a Christian? It is a part. We are told that we are to suffer, we will suffer. So we're going to deal with the question of why today. Why is it necessary for us to suffer as Christians? Before that, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for your care and your keeping of us. We thank you, Father, for your blessings that are given to us, your great love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Father, for your word that you've given to us. And Holy Spirit, thank you for being our teacher. Today, Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit lead and guide. And Holy Spirit, please speak through me today. May the words that I speak today not be my own, but may they be yours, spoken in me and spoken through me by your precious Holy Spirit, Father. For your glory and for our good, we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, dear friend, turn with me in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2, where we will begin today. We're dealing with the subject of suffering, and as I stated earlier, we are looking at the reasons why we suffer. And we're going to deal with that question today for our time together in the subject of suffering. So here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, Paul is writing to his son in the ministry, Timothy. And he's saying to Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul makes it clear that he is suffering and that Timothy, his son in the ministry and a fellow pastor, is to suffer also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So first of all, we find that we are to suffer as a soldier, as a good soldier, for Jesus Christ. Now, why is that necessary? Why is it necessary for us to suffer for Christ? Well, the answer is fairly simple. First of all, Christ himself suffered. Now, we see in the Gospels especially that Jesus told of his suffering, and he actually then went to the cross and suffered for that, for us. In Hebrews, for example, chapter 2, verse 10, we read this, for it was fitting for him, that is for Jesus Christ, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sins to glory, to perfect the author, that is Jesus, the author of their salvation through suffering. So Christ himself gained the victory and paid sin's debt for us through suffering. So it was necessary for Christ to suffer as the sacrifice and to pay sin's debt for us in order that we might be saved. So, dear friend, suffering is something Christ went through. He spoke of that in many instances. For example, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 12, we are told that, let's just read 11 through 13 here, Matthew chapter 17. And Jesus answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they asked, or whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is to suffer at their hands. Now you're speaking there of John the Baptist. But Jesus himself said that the Son of Man is to suffer at the hands of these religious rulers, really. So he spoke of his suffering and said that he came into the world, in essence, to suffer, to be the sacrifice for the sin of mankind. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31, "And Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after that, after 3 days, rise again." So again, Jesus speaks of his suffering, that he must suffer, that it is necessary that he suffer, because that is the way in which he paid sin's debt for mankind. Also in Mark chapter 9, verse 12, "And Jesus said to them, Elijah does first come and restore all things, and yet how it is written of the Son of Man that he will suffer many things and be treated with contempt." So again, his statement in Mark here, chapter 9, that he must suffer all things. And then in Luke chapter 9 also, verse 21, "But Jesus warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone." Now, what he's saying, Peter had just identified him as the Son of Man, as Christ, the Son of God. So he warned them, instructed them not to tell anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." So again, Jesus is saying that I came to this earth to suffer, and it's my purpose to suffer. Then in Luke chapter 17, verse 24 and 25, Jesus is saying, "For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of the part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." And then in Luke chapter 22, verse 15, when we see Jesus at the table taking the Passover meal with his disciples, we call it the Last Supper. Luke chapter 22, verse 15, "And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table," speaking of Jesus, "and the disciples with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." So again, he's saying to them that I must suffer. It is for this reason that I came into this world, to go to the cross, to be the sacrifice to pay for sin of mankind. He is the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. And finally, in Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 27, we read these words, "And Jesus said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" Now, he spoke these things to them after his resurrection. And he said, was it not necessary? In other words, it was necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. So Jesus is saying very clearly that it is necessary for me to have suffered. Now again, in Luke chapter 24, verses 45 through 48, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So again, after his resurrection, he's explaining that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise again. In other words, he came into this world for the purpose of going to the cross of Calvary to suffer on that cross, to die on that cross, to pay sin's debt for all of mankind. Now, these are the words of Christ himself explaining to his disciples and to us why it was necessary for him to suffer. In Acts chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. This is Peter speaking to his fellow Israelites in Jerusalem. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has thus fulfilled. So Peter is proclaiming here in the early part of Acts, in the early days of the church, that Christ filled or fulfilled the prophecy that he would suffer. Then we see that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise again on the third day. In Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 3, we read these words. Now when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you, is the Christ." So Paul is preaching Christ and explaining that it was necessary for him to suffer. Then again in Acts chapter 26, verses 21 through 23, "So having obtained help from God, I stand to you this day, testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place, that the Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he would be the first to proclaim light, both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." So again, Paul is explaining that it was necessary for Christ to suffer. Now, we are to suffer with Christ because he suffered. That's another reason. Now, Paul said to Timothy, "I want you to suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And we are to suffer primarily because Christ suffered. The disciple is not above the master. So we suffer with Christ. We suffer for the kingdom of Christ, for the kingdom of God. We suffer for the sake of the gospel. And we suffer primarily for Christ and because Christ himself suffered. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 to 17, where it speaks of our being the sons of God, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and heirs of Christ," or fellow heirs with Christ, "if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." So again, we're to suffer with Christ, and we're to suffer because of Christ. Now in Philippians chapter 1, verses 29 and 30, "For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake to not only believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me." So again, Paul is explaining here in Philippians that we're to suffer for Christ's sake. It's been granted to us. It is a privilege for us to suffer with Christ and to suffer for Christ, to suffer as Christ suffered. We're persecuted as Christ was persecuted. And we do it in order that we may reign with him, that we may rule with him. We're told very clearly that if we suffer, that we will reign with Christ. So this, then, is the primary reason that we suffer, because Christ suffered. So we suffer, and we suffer the same way that Christ suffered, and we suffer as Christ suffered, and we suffer because we're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are other reasons, too, that God has for our suffering. He wants us to suffer in order to learn, in order to grow, in order to mature. It is God's purpose for us to grow and to mature in and through our suffering. Now, remember that the devil's purpose in our suffering is for us to fail. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said there in John chapter 10, verse 10, that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He explained there in John 10, 10, the devil comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So God's purpose in what Satan brings our way, the afflictions, the persecutions, the sufferings, God's purpose in these is for us to grow, for us to mature, for us to go through it, because greater is He that is in me, Christ Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world, that is the devil and the demons of hell. The Bible very clearly tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that our battles of life is always against the devil and the demons of hell, never against flesh and blood. We fight a spiritual battle, and we fight this spiritual battle, or war, if you will, many battles, with spiritual weapons. And Paul said that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but they're mighty and powerful to the pulling down of Satan's strongholds. So, as Peter said to us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, he said, "Therefore also suffer according to the will of God." Let me read that again. He said, "Therefore those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." So it is God's will that we suffer. Now that may not be something we want to hear, but that's what the Bible tells us very clearly. It is God's will that we suffer as Christ suffered. It is God's will that in our suffering we grow and we mature. Now, God does that. God said, "I will give you the grace to go through the suffering that I allow to come your way." I remember many years ago when I heard for the first time a learned professor say this. He said, "You need to understand as a child of God that anything that comes your way, good, bad, or indifferent, anything that comes your way must go through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and receive their approval before they allow it to happen to you." So anything the devil throws at us as a child of God, we're children of God. We've trusted in Jesus Christ. Anything that the devil throws at us must be approved by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the devil, in throwing these problems at us and throwing these darts of evil at us, the fiery darts, as they're called, of evil, his purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But in that same thing that the devil brings our way, God has approved it, or it wouldn't be coming at us. So anything that comes our way, when we ask the question, "Why, Lord, is this happening to me?" we've got some answers from God's Word. It's happening to me because I am to suffer as Christ suffered. I am to suffer for the sake of the gospel. I am to suffer for the kingdom of God. I am to suffer as a disciple of Christ, my master, who suffered. And it is the will of God, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. It is the will of God for me to suffer. Now, again, we've got our answer. I think the problem often is that we just don't like the answer. There are those who try to preach that if you're a child of God, then you should never get sick. You should have everything you need, everything you want, You just name it and claim it. You should be living like the son of a king. You should be living here upon this earth as a child of the king. You should be living as royalty. You should be living a privileged life. My friend, that is all to come to us later. That's going to come to us in heaven. And we're told that if we suffer here in this earth, in this life, if we suffer with Christ, if we suffer for Christ, if we suffer according to the will of God, then we will reign with Christ. You see, God is going to reward those who were faithful in suffering for Christ, in suffering with Christ, in suffering for the sake of the gospel, in suffering as a child of God. You see, we're not citizens here in this earth. When we become children of God, our citizenship is changed to heaven. We're no longer the property of the devil, as are all those people who are not children of God, who have not trusted in Jesus Christ. You see, we're no longer of the world. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Our citizenship has been changed. God, when we trust in Jesus Christ, God Himself, God the Father, transfers us at that moment in time from the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of heaven, from the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is changed from a citizen of the world, a citizen of the devil's kingdom, if you will, to a citizen of God's kingdom, to a citizen of heaven. Therefore, we are not of the world any longer. Now, the devil hates us with a hatred we cannot even begin to imagine. Why? Because we were once his property, and he's lost us. He's lost us forever. Because we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been born again, we're now citizens of heaven, we're sons of God. And he hates us. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, whom the devil hates with a passion. So the devil hates us. The world is against us. The devil is against us. We are going to suffer because we're not of this world. We're citizens of heaven. We're going to suffer because Christ suffered. We're going to suffer because that's the will of God for us to suffer. Now again, that's not something we like to hear. But my friend, read God's word. All of these scriptures that I've given to you today, we suffer because we're property of God. We're suffering for the sake of righteousness, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. But even if you suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, Peter says. So we are blessed as a result of our suffering. Now, it doesn't feel that way, and we don't feel, you know, like we're blessed. But let's remember that our blessing is laid up for us in heaven. Again, if we suffer with Christ, we will rule and reign with Christ. Now, we have credit laid up for us when we suffer according to the will of God, when we suffer for the sake of the gospel, when we suffer because Jesus suffered. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. He says, "For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience?" Now, that's a kind of suffering that we bring upon ourselves. It's a suffering that's a result of what we sow. In other words, we sin, we do wrong, we bring the result of that upon ourselves. So he says there's no credit in that. But, he says, if when you do what is right and suffer for it, and you patiently endure, this finds favor with God. God is pleased when we endure suffering for doing what is right. When we endure suffering because we're his child, when we endure suffering for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel, for the kingdom of God. Yes, my friend, we will be persecuted as Christians. It's a part of becoming a Christian and living on this earth. But we will someday leave this body and go to heaven. And we're told that there is laid up for us a crown of righteousness, as the Apostle Paul said. A crown of righteousness for those who run the race with patience, with endurance. For those who suffer for the sake of Christ. For those who endure patiently this suffering. You see, we're not to squirm and complain about our suffering. And that's our nature, isn't it? That's what we want to do. Oh, we say, why is this happening to me? Why am I having to suffer? Well, it's very clear, isn't it, that we are to suffer because Christ suffered. That we are to suffer in this world as children of God because we're not citizens of this world. We're aliens in this world. But let us understand that this suffering here that we endure for a short time will gain for us a wonderful, great, and magnificent reward. Peter speaks of this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Let me read all of this and listen carefully. Peter writes, therefore, humble yourselves. Now, he's been talking about suffering, and he's been talking about our suffering. And he said, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that you're going through, as though something strange were happening to you, he said. For your brothers and sisters everywhere in the world are undergoing the same suffering that you're undergoing. Peter makes it very clear. It's common to us all as Christians. We all go through the same type, maybe not the same degree, but the same type of suffering. We have afflictions. We have persecutions. And we have these because we're the children of God. He says then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he, that is God, may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. You see, all of us, as children of God who are still in the world, we're going to suffer. Then in verse 10 he says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him, to God, be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Oh, my friend, this is such a wonderful scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures because it assures us that we, after we have suffered for a little while, verse 10 says, that God himself, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself, God himself, will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Oh, my friend, what better promise can we have than that? God has not forsaken us in our suffering. He's right there with us, giving us the grace we need to go through it. And in going through it, he's going to be working on us to make us better, to make us more like Christ. So as we go through the suffering, we can be assured that when we come out on the other side, God has been at work to make us a little bit more like Christ as we go through that suffering. So suffering is necessary for us, for God to work on us, to mature us, to grow us, to make us finally just like Jesus Christ. But my friend, we won't be perfected by God until we get to heaven. Yes, He will finish the work that He started on us, but it will not be finished while we're in this human body. As Paul said, when we're in this human body in Romans chapter 6, he said, we're going to sin because we live in a body of sin. We live in a sinful, fleshly body that has the nature of Adam. But someday we're going to lay this body of sin aside, and we're going to get a new body, a body that is imperishable, a body that is immortal, a body that is perfect, when God will have finally finished His work on you and me as His child and conformed us to the very image of Jesus Christ and actually completed us and made us just like Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. And this, my friend, is a good word from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.